Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
8 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here on this Monday evening. A lot to get back into. 2 years ago yesterday, Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies. But we also have to look ahead here to the NFL draft, which is coming up next month, end of next month. And I got to say, and we're going to do our mock draft mania as we round up the mock drafts coming up at 8:30 tonight. We're going to start that tonight. But every time I look at a mock draft, including yesterday, Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida, is always being mocked to the Eagles, a local kid who was a standout at the end of his high school career at Archbishop Wood. Went on to Florida, has become the best tight end in the country. And I said, you know what, we got to talk about this kid. So let's bring on someone that knows him. Steve Devlin is his name. He is currently the defensive coordinator at Sinus. But before that, 132, 22, and 1 at Archbishop Wood, including a couple seasons with Kyle Pitts. Let's talk about Kyle Pitts with his former high school coach. Steve, how you doing tonight?
What's up, Joe? How are you?
Steve, doing great. Excited to talk to you and excited to hear your story and how you got to know Kyle Pitts, who it's amazing here, Steve. Every time I see one of these mock drafts, he's getting picked to the Eagles somewhere high in the first round. So he came to you at Archbishop Wood. What did you know about him, and what were your first impressions when you met Kyle?
Well, he was a great kid, and you know, when I first met him, he was he had a couple buddies on the team, and so he knew some of the guys, and you know, he was just a kid who was really he was looking to be great, and he was doing a couple camps, and you know, he was the type of kid who came in and just wanted to perfect his craft. And for me, it was great because having one of your best players, you know, in the school, being the first guy out to practice, being the last guy to leave, it was contagious for the younger guys to see that. And you know, him coming onto our team, it became infectious to everybody on our team. And he was a great kid to coach, and you know, a tremendous young man who was an even better person off the field. He really is.
So, Steve, how about his move to tight end? Like, when did that happen, and how did it happen? Just because, you know, when you think about high school football, and I'll just think back to my days when I wasn't a very good player, but I played, and I like the best players, the best athletes, kids that end up at Florida in the SEC, they're usually not high school tight ends. You know, they might be the quarterback, they might be a defensive end, they might be a safety. Like, they can impact the game in those spots, or wide receiver, obviously, or running back. How did he end up a tight end? Did he want to do that? Did you put him there? Like, how did it happen before the Florida days?
Yeah, he wanted to be a tight end. He knew, you know, with his body type that he was long. But, you know, we used him in a lot of different situations. We used him as an attached tight end. We used him in the slot. We put him as a single receiver in a 3-by-1 set. So we constantly moved him around. But, you know, he was, when we went to a double tight formation, he was a tight end with his hand in the dirt. And he was a physical kid, and he was strong, and not only did he play offense, he played every down for us on defense as a defensive end, and was a tremendous player there because of his athleticism. And in his one of the state championships, he caught two touchdowns in state championship games, but one of the games, he actually caught a touchdown and had two interceptions as a defensive end.
Which is incredible, and it just goes to show how talented he was in high school at Archbishop Wood. We're talking to Steve Devlin, former high school football coach of Kyle Pitts, Florida, is now entering the NFL draft and continues to get connected to the Eagles here. Steve, was there a moment, was when you first met him, a practice, you just mentioned a game? Like, I know you coached a lot of kids, and you had a great record when you were a high school coach that went on to play at pretty good programs, but was there a moment you realized, like, wow, this kid might be different? I have to imagine – you know, he soon will be the most decorated player that you probably coached.
Yeah, that's good to say. I mean, he did a lot of good things, and his athleticism on the field was phenomenal. And I remember one time we threw a rocket screen, jailbreak screen to him, and he came through the middle of the field and caught it, and everybody was closing on him from the sidelines, and he ran down the middle of the field and nobody could catch him. And it was like, at that point, you're like, wow, this kid's got another gear to him. And, some of the things he did on defense were just like, wow. And you knew the toughness that he would have from playing the defensive side of the ball. But he was, like I said, he was a kid who worked every day. I mean, he was the first one to practice. He was the last one to leave. Actually, it was pitch black out on the practice field, and I had to go get him because I wanted to go home. I had to get him off the field because everybody was still on the field. And it was he was just that type of kid. And he really developed in the weight room. And, you know, I had a buddy on the team, a couple buddies, Nasir Peoples, who's playing at Virginia Tech right now. And him and Nas had a real good relationship, and they worked hard in the weight room and did a lot of stuff in the off season together. So, I remember Kyle had just the work ethic he had and the type of kid he was.
How about his personality? I mean, you mentioned his work ethic, which is great, and obviously it's a big reason why, you know, he's gotten this far and just dominated the SEC. But how about the kind of person he is? Because, you know, there's some kids are quiet, some kids are outgoing, and, you know, you always wonder what you're getting in terms of the personality and the mental toughness when you get to a level like the NFL. What about his personality, you know, kind of non-football personality?
Yeah, Kyle was very laid back, and he was very humble about all his accomplishments and everything that he was given to him. He was really humble about, he's a great teammate. He never, you know, put himself above anybody else, and he was just a great kid. He was a jokester. He would like to have fun. He'd be in the office, and we'd be cracking jokes, and he'd be telling stories, and, you know, he liked to make fun of his friends and stuff like that, just like a normal teenage kid would do. But he was a great kid. He really was. And, you know, we got the chance to go down to Orlando in the Under Armour All-American game, and I got to coach with him playing on the team. So that was a neat experience, watching him play with some of the great players, you know, that are playing now in college football. He actually stood out among all those guys.
Steve, what kind of pride is it like for you to watch? I mean, I'm sure you're very you have pride in all of the kids you coach, whether it be high school or now into college, as they go on to become successful people. It doesn't have to be football. It could be, you know, in life. I'm sure as a coach you have pride in what they're becoming as young men. But what is it like to watch one of your former players, like you turn on the SEC championship game or you turn on, you know, this SEC on CBS on Saturday, and then there he is, like, you know, just dominating other great players? That has to be a unique sense of pride, because, you know, he's doing it at really the highest level.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to have the opportunity this year to watch him. And, you know, at our sign, as our season was canceled, so I had the ability to sit on Saturday afternoon and watch him. And you know, I watched every game and would talk to him. You see the little things he does now on the field that he showed glimpse of greatness when he was with me. And he just obviously does it at a different level. But when the ball's in the air in high school, he came down with it. And you see, you know, ball's in the air at Florida, he came down with it. So a lot of the traits that he had, he's become a much better blocker, obviously. But, you know, that came with growing into his body and all the things that, you know, comes with that.
Coach, last one for you. Coach Steve Devlin of your Sinus College, and used to be the head coach at Archbishop Wood. He coached Kyle Pitts, a University of Florida tight end, there for a couple seasons. What do you think it would mean to him if his name did get called by the Eagles? And do you think he's the type of kid that would be able to handle that, you know, well? Because we've seen that in sports where some players, some people can handle being home by family, by friends, and thrive in it. And then others, you know, for a lot of different reasons, it's a lot. It can be a lot. What do you think it would mean to him to be drafted by the Eagles, and do you think he can handle that?
I think he could handle it. He's a humble kid. And like I said, it's, you know, what kid doesn't grow up wanting to play for a hometown team? I think he would be, you know, a great situation. And you know, when he was going through this recruiting process, it was, you know, he knew what he wanted. He actually, I believe he committed before Coach Mullen got there. And then Coach Mullen came down to Wood as soon as he got the job. And you know, we had a good talk because, you know, I had another tight end to go to Florida, you know, years before that. And so I knew a little bit about the program. But Kyle knew what Dan Mullen could do for him in his offense. So I think he knew what he wanted there. He was very, the guy who was recruiting him at the time was real close with him. So, you know, Kyle, you know, he's going to fit into any situation. And, you know, playing for the Eagles would be a great, not only for him, but for his friends and his family, but wherever he goes, you know, he's going to be a success. You know, we'll be a fan of him for, you know, any team that he goes to, as long as he doesn't go to the Cowboys.
For sure. Well, yeah, that's where the Eagles better take him, so it doesn't slip to number 10. Coach, I appreciate you hopping on tonight. Good luck with you guys and your next season when it starts up. We'll be rooting and watching Kyle, and you did a good job with him, and we appreciate you hopping on. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Coach Steve Devlin of Rosinus College, the former high school coach of Kyle Pitts, who could be headed to the Eagles in the first round. 215-592-9494. We'll come back, react to what Coach Devlin said there. And the Eagles are being connected to a veteran quarterback that could hit the free agent market. And I love the idea. We'll discuss it on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 815 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Again, appreciate that time by Coach Devlin of Rosinus College. Used to be at Archbishop Wood. Former head coach of Kyle Pitts, who's now at the University of Florida, or was at the University of Florida. We'll head into the NFL draft. Probably will be could be the highest tight end ever selected in the NFL draft, and will likely be one of the first. What was the last top 10 tight end we had? Was Hockenson a top 10 guy?
He might have been around 8 or 9.
Okay, so but it's become more rare. I feel like tight ends are not being picked as high as they were. There was a run there. It was Ebron. Kellen Winslow is now in jail. But there was a few. Vernon Davis. Yeah, there was a I'd say about a 10 or 12 year run where top 10 picks on tight ends were like the big that was the in thing, and that is not continue. That has dissipated a little bit here. Kyle Pitts is going to change that. A local kid, a Philly kid. And I continue to see him mock to the Eagles, and I'm in on it. Like, I love the idea of Kyle Pitts. I think he's more than just a tight end, and I would have no problem if the Philadelphia Eagles took Kyle Pitts with the number 6 overall pick. So, I'm glad we got to talk to his coach. We're going to try to do this over the next couple weeks, especially before baseball season starts and the Phillies get going, because then our shows in April are a little bit more sporadic. We'll be on nights off. We'll be on when the Phillies have a day game. We will not have consistent shows in the month of April because baseball's back. So we're going to try to do this over the next 3-4 weeks or so. We're going to talk to a lot of people that have been around or know or have covered some of the kids the Eagles might take. So we started with Kyle Pitts tonight. We'll get to a bunch of others. In fact, coming up at 8:30, we'll do our mock draft roundup. Every night at 8:30, we're going to react. Mock Draft Mania, I think. Is that what we're calling it? Mock Draft Mania?
That sounds good to me.
Mock Draft Mania at 8:30. We'll react to a different mock draft tonight. Almost lit the internet on fire this morning. So we'll get to that. 215-592-9494. We are talking, well, about a lot of things. Bryce Harper, the anniversary of his signing. I believe he's been worth every penny. Tucker is a Grinch back there and does not want to take the money back. I also believe that a 17-game NFL season, which is coming, is a great idea. I can't wait for extra football. And then when you call and give us a strange food combination, as we all have them, Tucker's, I guess, is soda and waffles. Is that's the
Pepsi and waffles?
Soda.
Pepsi.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
All right, so it's different?
I mean, Pepsi is a type of soda.
Right, I understand that, but cola.
Pepsi.
It's all the same.
It's not. I can promise you it's not.
As someone who doesn't drink soda anymore, I'm just going to say it's all the same. But all right, Pepsi and waffles is Tucker's. Mine is peanut butter and pickle sandwich, and we've gotten some fun ones on the phone lines. 215-592-9494. All right, let's throw this in the mix. So today, this story came out, and it is an interesting one because we know the Philadelphia Eagles need a quarterback, right? They need, and I'm not talking about someone to particularly start over Jalen Hurts, but they just literally need quarterbacks on the roster. I believe it's when the new league year starts, the only quarterback on the team will be Jalen Hurts. So by hook or by crook, the Eagles are going to add a quarterback, probably two, this offseason. And we don't know yet if that means the NFL draft is going to be part of this equation. How high in the NFL draft? Will it be a trade? Will it be free agency? The Eagles need bodies at the quarterback position. So this story came out today, and it's probably my favorite rumor we've gotten so far with one that actually I think makes a lot of sense. So according to Ben Standing of The Athletic, this is a story about Marcus Mariota, the former Titan, and of course, most recently, the Las Vegas Raider, and we know him here as hashtag do the deal, that Marcus Mariota. So this is what he wrote in The Athletic today. Who is the best bat? That's a question most around the league cannot or are unsure how to answer. Darnold offers the most intrigue among personnel executives contacted by the Athletic. But Mariota and Winston have fans. Of those three, Mariota has the best chance to change teams, perhaps within the next week or at least before free agency opens later this month. And while Philadelphia wouldn't seem like an obvious landing spot, Jalen Hurts remains, and Marcus Mariota and Carson Wentz are rep by the same agency, which is awkward. One prominent league source said to keep an eye on the Eagles if Mariota is traded or released. 215-592-9494. Marcus Mariota, after all these years, would you be in favor of bringing him to the Philadelphia Eagles? I would. And I think if the Eagles are looking for competition for Jalen Hurts, if they're looking to bring in another quarterback here, I love the idea of bringing in Marcus Mariota. A couple reasons. Let me throw them at you. One, they need another quarterback. You cannot go into a year with just, you know, a rookie and nothing. You need someone else that can play, or a second-year player and nothing. You need someone else that could play. Mariota has a career passer rating about 89.5. He could play. And I don't want to trade for him in particular. I don't want to give up an asset and take on a $10 million salary for a backup quarterback. But here's what I would do. If Mariota gets released by the Raiders, which, according to this report and I've seen others, is highly likely. If he gets released in the next couple weeks, I would absolutely sign him immediately. He could still play a little bit, as we saw last year when he came in to play for Derek Carr when he got hurt. He could play a little bit still. And here's what you could do. You can run the same offense. Like, you know, if Hurts is the starting quarterback and he goes down, he gets hurt, he gets a concussion, you don't have to change things up dramatically. I mean, they're both mobile quarterbacks. I think Mariota would be a tremendous fit to not just back up Jalen Hurts, but to push him. You know, it's a guy that started, I mean, how many games did Mariota start in the NFL? 50, 60?
61.
61 games. Right, that's a lot of football. I mean, that's a guy that has started a good amount of football. He's won a playoff game. He's been a team starting quarterback probably for, what, 4 years? He was a true starter, and then he got replaced last year by Tannehill. So, I mean, like, he's had his ups and downs. But whenever I've watched Marcus Mariota, a couple things stand out to me. One, I think he plays the position smart. He doesn't throw reckless interceptions. He's always usually pretty sound on where he's going with the football. And he could still run. I think, what game was it last year? The Raiders were playing and Carr got hurt. Was it maybe a Dolphin game late in the year? It was one of those games. And he came in and
he played the Chargers.
Chargers on a Thursday night. It was a primetime game. But I remember watching it at home, and he came in and he actually moved the football with his leg. I still think there's athleticism there. There's still ability there. And if he wants to come in, and I actually think if I'm him, this is a place I'd want to come, because Jalen Hurts has not established himself yet. And if he can't play, or he flops, or he gets hurt, it's another opportunity to start again, which obviously a guy like Mariota has to be dying for at this point of his career. I think it makes sense for both parties. I mean, unless he has a guaranteed starting gig, and I'm not sure where that's coming. Maybe New England would give him a gig. I mean, unless he has that, I think a team like the Eagles makes sense, and I think the Eagles should be on this. Tucker, you in, Mariota?
I mean, Mariota's career, maybe it's because it happened in Tennessee and no one cares about the Titans, right? Like, no one watches Tennessee Titans football, but you look at his numbers, and we know he kind of had a downfall, but his 4 years in Tennessee are almost all identical. Like, his yards per attempt are all somewhere between 7.4 and 7.6. His quarterback rating outside of his third year, where he threw 15 interceptions, is all between 91 and 93. Like, he did a lot of good there, and he never won a lot. He only ever won 9 games. That was the most ever won double-digit games. But he's a guy that clearly had all the talent in the world. He was the second overall pick. He won the Heisman. I always found it odd that it kind of just, like, he just disappeared.
To become a backup.
And never got another opportunity.
Yeah, you're right. Let me throw this at you quickly, because I think it's interesting to compare these two guys, okay? So I'm going to throw two quarterbacks at you, two NFL potential starting quarterbacks moving forward. We'll see where their careers go. But, you know, a couple weeks ago, we were, before the Wentz rumors really started to become a significant thing and we realized he was going to be moved, I think we had all kind of buckled ourselves in for, you know what? Nick Sirianni's here. They might do a quarterback competition between Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. Let the best man win. Obviously, they chose to go in a different direction. Wentz wanted out. But let me throw these numbers at you because I think they're interesting. 62.9% completion. That's Marcus Mariota in his career. Wentz, 62.7%. Passer rating, 89.5 Mariota, 89.2 Carson Wentz. Average yards per attempt, 7.5 Mariota, 6.7 Wentz. Rushing yards, 1487 Mariota, 1061 Wentz. Like, if you didn't know anything about these players and you just looked at this, Wentz has a better record, 35-32-1, Mariota 29-32. I mean, but it's not like it's overwhelming. It's a little bit better Carson Wentz. If you didn't know anything about these players, you would say, oh, they've had pretty even careers. I guess one guy was on a little bit of a better team. I mean, it's remarkably similar as all the time has passed.
Yeah, I mean, Wentz has some more touchdown passes, but he also played for a better offensive coach.
Yep. Yeah, and
I mean, like Tennessee circa 2015-16, I mean, before Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith took over with Ryan Tannehill, that wasn't a good offensive team.
It was not. Mariota has more rushing yards. Wentz has more touchdowns throwing the football. It's as passers, they are similar. And they both, even though Mariota had one extra year in the league, Wentz had injury issues, obviously, and then Mariota lost his job. So we're looking at two guys that have played roughly the same amount of games.
And they have to be close to the same age, right? Mariota's only 27.
They've got to be. I actually think Carson Wentz might be older. If Mariota's only 27, I think Wentz has turned 28 in December. I think he's older, which is remarkable because he was drafted one draft after him.
Yeah, Wentz is 9 months older.
So I'll throw this at you, and we'll go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494 per game. These are their per game statistics in the NFL. Mariota, 17 of 28. For 209 yards, Carson Wentz 23 of 36, 247. So I mean, it's Wentz's more volume, but completion percentage is basically even. It's a very similar kind of thing. I didn't think this before. I kind of researched it, but I'm like, wow. If they were going to go with a Wentz Hurts competition, and they felt decent about that when the season ended, well, Mariota is a way less expensive and way less dramatic competition partner for Jalen Hurts. I would do it. 215-592-9494. Mariota, Eagles rumors. Would you do it? Let's go to Dennis in Mount Laurel. Hey, Dennis.
Joey G, how you doing, my
Dennis,
man?
Dennis, doing well, man. What's on your mind?
Well, before we get to the trivia, I wanted to read these numbers because last week when I said Richie Ashburn, you said, well, he'd have to have a lot of hits per season. Well, here they are. 1950 on. Here they go. Ready?
Ready.
180, 221, 173, 205, 175, 180, 190, 186, 215, 150.
That's a lot.
So he did. He had the most hits. Yep. All right, so Bryce Harper, I have to agree with Tucker because he was the highest paid player in baseball. Now he's second. When you have the second highest paid player, you expect him to make the All-Star team. He couldn't even do that. And he's now ranked like 22nd best player in the league. He has not lived up to expectations.
So what did you expect? You expected a top five player?
Yeah, when you're paid as a number one or number two, yeah, you should be paid, be rated in the top 10 at least. He's not even in the top 20.
So here's my perspective on the contract. I think the contract almost does him a disservice because it was the Phillies' decision to extend that. I mean, he only makes $25 million per year. There's got to be 10 guys now that make more than that. Like, on average per year, he's not one of the highest-paid players. They just gave him such a long contract that it came out to the big number.
Yeah. Well, I think he's been a bit of a disappointment, but that's just my opinion.
I hear you. All right, Dennis, actually, guess what we're going to do tonight? You can give me your trivia question, but I'm going to throw one back at you.
I knew you were going to do that sooner or later.
All right, who goes first, me or you?
I'll go with my two quickies. Right, last week we did most hits in the 50s. Who had the most home runs in the 50s?
Mantle?
Nope.
Matthews?
Close.
Who is it?
Duke Snyder, because he had his 1950 to 59 were his best years.
Yeah, he's the one that gets lost in that shuffle, obviously, within the same city, all three of those great center fielders.
Yeah, and the first African-American into the Hall of Fame, of course, was Jackie Robinson. Who was the second?
Wow. Was he a teammate of Jackie's?
I don't know if they ever – I don't think so, but I'm not 100%
okay.
Sure.
Okay. Second African-American player in the Hall of Fame. That's a great question. I mean, obviously in the same era you had Willie Mays, you had Hank Aaron. I'm just trying to think of someone that maybe preceded them that I'm not thinking about that made it before they got in. I don't know this one. Who is it?
He had three MVPs in the 50s, then he was involved in a bad car accident, Roy Campanella.
Well, yeah, they were teammates.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if they crossed. Yeah, I guess he was. Jackie came up in, what,
47.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first thought, but then you said they weren't, so I threw off it. But that's a good one. All right, Dennis, you ready for mine?
I'm ready. I knew you were going to do it.
All right, here we go. I saw this last week. I'm like, you know, I'm going to throw this at Dennis and Matt Lauer. All right. Four players have homered in four different decades. Name them.
Four players have homered in four different decades. Wow.
Yes.
All right, so 50s, 60s. It's not the usual suspects.
I would say there is one.
I got Ted Williams.
Yes, that's the one usual suspect. Yep.
Stan the Man.
No, not Stan the Man. Let me give you a hint on the other three.
Okay.
One of them is a classic power hitter. The others are not known for being classic power hitters.
Classic power hitter that made it over 20, because you have to play at least 21 or 22 years
right.
to get to four decades.
And you got to be lucky, right? You got to come up at the end of one decade, last of the beginning, you know, your last one is.
Yeah. Another one was a power hitter, huh?
Yeah.
National or American League?
National. He's got a body of water named after him.
Body of water named after him. I don't know. Who is it?
Willie McCovey, McCovey Cove.
Was he? He played it 22 years? I didn't think he played that long.
Yeah, he made it. Yeah. Any guesses on the other two?
No, that's a very good question, though.
So the other two are Ricky Henderson.
Well, that figures. He had a long career.
And this last one, the only reason he made this is because he played so long. He was the opposite of a power hitter. Omar Vizquel.
No one would ever get that.
I know. That's the one. I mean, he hit his last home run in 2010. Yeah, he was around that long.
That was pretty good for you, though. I appreciate the and keep doing it to me.
Dennis, you got it, man. We'll do it again next time. Dennis from Mount Laurel there. All right, you know what we got to do now? After trivia, it's time for Mock Draft Mania, Tucker.
Is it?
Mock Draft Mania. We're going to do this every night at 8:30. We're going to give you a different mock draft, kind of a roundup of where the Eagles are at, who people have them taking in their mock draft. And I promise you this one, just from what I noticed this morning as people reacted to it, this is one that did not make people happy by any stretch of the imagination. So today's mock draft actually comes from a guest of ours last week, Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports. He joined us, I think it was last Monday night. Now, he should have gave us the heads up. Like, hey, guys, next week I'm going to do a mock draft that's going to set the whole city of Philadelphia ablaze. Here's what he did. This is the new mock draft from Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, tonight's Mock Draft Mania. Let's go through this one. Number one pick, Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence. Number two pick, Jets, Zach Wilson. Number three, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver to Miami. Number four, Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State to the Falcons. Number five, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle to Cincinnati. Everything seems pretty normal so far. With the number six overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select a quarterback out of Alabama, Mac Jones. The Eagles in this mock draft took Mac Jones with the number six overall pick, which means, just to reset this for a second, that means the Eagles would be taking Mac Jones over Devonta Smith. Think back to when you watched the national championship game and you were thinking about needs the Eagles had and what the Eagles might do. Did you ever look at the quarterback on the field and say, you know what? That's the guy. No, everyone was watching the wide receiver on the field that dominated college football and said, that's the guy. Mac Jones. Tucker, your reaction if the Philadelphia Eagles select Mac Jones with the sixth overall pick?
Well, he certainly has a different skill set than Jalen Hurts.
The complete opposite skill set.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his set, he had 41 touchdowns and only four picks last year. And you mentioned that just the loaded offense in Alabama, that's kind of the wild card, right? Is he a product of that offense, or did he make them better? It was kind of similar to what Joe Burrow had to go through his last year at LSU.
Yep.
Was he great, or was he great because he had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase lining up on either side of him? But when you look at what Mac Jones did, and it sounds odd, but look at the guys that these quarterbacks and offensive coordinators have worked with, right? So Nick Sirianni just worked with Phillip Rivers. He doesn't run.
Does not.
The Shane Steichen, right, the offensive coordinator, he just finished working with Justin Herbert. He's athletic, but he's not a runner.
He's not.
And Brian Johnson just got done at Florida with Kyle Trask, who might be the least mobile quarterback in the draft. It's not far-fetched.
So you're saying that Mac Jones is their type?
He might be. I mean, they have experience working with those guys. I know we all immediately think, well, these are young guys that are going to want a mobile quarterback. Brian Johnson obviously has a history with Jalen Hurts, and Sirianni has obviously worked with the kid over in Indianapolis from NC State, who I immediately Jacoby Brissett. There we go. And obviously Steichen, you know, rolled with Tyrod Taylor at the beginning of the season, but it's not crazy. And I told you a couple weeks ago, I thought Mac Jones is kind of the wild card in this whole quarterback class. He's the one guy that doesn't have that, like, superpower that everyone else has, right? Trevor Lawrence is the guy that everyone kind of views as the great guy, and Justin Fields has an elite arm, and Zach Wilson can make, you know, off-balance throws, and Trey Lance, I saw one comparison, compared him to Taysom Hill with arm talent. Mac Jones is just kind of there. Mac Jones just completes passes, and I know we're in an era where mobile quarterbacks and dual threat quarterbacks are the thing, and that's what you need to win. But if you can do that well, you can still win, right? Yeah. I mean, we see that with guys like Tom Brady, like Drew Brees, like Phillip Rivers last year. There's a place for those guys. If you can throw the ball, if you can command an offense and a huddle well enough, you can win from the pocket.
You can. Look, if they like Mac Jones, and I've said this about all these quarterbacks, if they love one of these guys, they have the sixth pick, they don't usually pick this high, that player will be in play. Here would be my frustration if they draft Mac Jones. What was the point of the Jalen Hurts selection? And I'm not going to say this for every quarterback they would take. And I've seen people say this, like, hey, if you take a quarterback, the Hurts pick made no sense. No. If the Eagles believe the NFL's going a certain way, that the future of the NFL quarterback is going a certain way, and Jalen Hurts' skill set is suited for that, then maybe Justin Fields is suited for that, but at a higher level. You can make that case. Maybe Trey Lance's skill set is suited for at a higher level. Like, they could find a better Jalen Hurts with the sixth pick. If they take Mac Jones, what was the point of Jalen Hurts? What was the evaluation and the point? Like, that, it doesn't make much sense, because they evaluated that he's not, that they evaluated him wrong, or they don't now think that skill set is necessary. That's the part it doesn't add up. Like, the Mac Jones thing doesn't add up. Here's what I do know. Just based on the gifts that people were sending us tonight at WIP Evenings, if they take Mac Jones, it would be the most unpopular Eagles draft pick
since Jalen Hurts.
No, more. I think people now are slowly accepting, like, all right, Wentz is gone, Hurts is the guy, this is what we're doing. Now, if they go back and double up on another Alabama quarterback that makes no sense and has zero, you know, in common with Jalen Hurts, they both could play the position and compete for the same job, it would be bonkers. I think people would call in and literally boo on the air. I think people would call WIP and not just say they were disappointed and yell. I think they would boo. And the last thing I'll say about Mac Jones as we do tonight's mock draft roundup is this. You know what his real name is, everybody? His real name is Michael McCorkle Mac Jones. McCorkle. I know there are guys that kind of come out of nowhere. Joe Burrow came out of nowhere. And maybe Mac Jones will be a wonderful NFL quarterback. I'm not going to pretend to tell you that I think he's going to be terrible. But his name is McCorkle. Can the Eagles quarterback and a winning quarterback be named McCorkle? I can't see it. I can't see it. The Mac Jones thing strikes me as, I mean, I can't see them doing it.
What's odd is he's only a redshirt junior. And as we've kind of started to look towards next year, like, next year isn't a loaded quarterback class. There isn't a guy like Trevor Lawrence who everyone's kind of salivating over,
right,
13 months in advance. It's odd that he's okay coming out now as the fifth or sixth best quarterback in this class.
I mean, next year he could be number one.
Right? Like, right now, if he's the fifth best quarterback, and we've heard people say he's not getting down past, you know, 8 or 10, or, you know, I think the lowest I've maybe seen him projected is 15 to the New England Patriots, right? But if he came back next year and you play for Alabama and you go 12-0 and get to the national championship, you could very easily be the number one overall pick.
There's no doubt. And in this class, he will not be that. But in at least one mock draft, he's headed to the Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone call is coming up at 9 a.m. Clearwater check-in. Do you want the Eagles to get Marcus Mariota to compete with Jalen Hurts? I love the idea. And Mac Jones, I'm out on that. We'll discuss all it and Bryce Harper, the anniversary of his signing, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.